turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. It's where we'll be in just a moment. Romans chapter 1. Does that sound like it's on? Well, good morning. Glad to have everyone here, especially our visitors. And we are always thankful when people come our way and worship with us and join in song with us. And we're just glad that you're here. Really glad to have a lot of Peggy's family with us this morning as they enjoyed the new year together. And I found out what keeps Charles in line. We were shooting skeet yesterday, and all of Peggy's families are excellent shot. So I don't think Charles is going to get out of line anytime soon. So that being said, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, your Bible says, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse." We're beginning a new year, and one of the things that we're going to try to do together as a congregation is read through the Bible together. And if you've already done your reading for today, it was Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And if you've lost your plan already, there's more on the table in the foyer. And I hope you'll grab one on your way out. But there's something about that. As we begin and reading through the Bible and looking back on God and His work and His plan through the ages, we're confronted, as God's people have for all time, we're confronted with people that say our belief in God is without foundation. We're confronted with people that say we're fools for the things that we believe. Brother McClellan had a lesson not too long ago about how people say that our faith in God is a crutch. And in some ways it is a crutch, because we need God and we need to be dependent upon Him. But the way that people say that, when they mean that in a derogatory sense, in the idea that we made God up because we needed this figment of our imagination to lean on when times get tough, but He's not really there. And so this morning's lesson is going to be somewhat different, in the sense that I want us to think about the things that Paul is talking about here in Romans 1, 19 and 20. Verse 19 says that God, since the beginning of the world, has given us evidence that He exists, that He is real. And two forms of evidence that He gives us. He says there's evidence within us. And I believe that refers to our being made in His image and our innate morality that we have, even from the time of being born. But then also He says, through the things which have been made in the creation, there is abundant evidence for God. In fact, if you look back at verse 20, God says that this evidence is so conclusive and so abundant that if you miss it, you really don't have any excuse to miss it. He says they are without excuse. And so I just want to talk about a few things that I have learned from other people and from reading that are above my head otherwise, but from qualified people that know how to talk about these things and know about these evidence. I want to relay to you some of the things that I have learned and that show that we're standing on solid ground for our faith in God. The first thing I want us to think about is the universe that we live in. I mean, I think we're here. I think the universe exists. And so if the universe exists, then that leaves us with a question. It leaves us with two possibilities. Either the universe is eternal, it always has been here, and it always will be here. Or it started at some point in time. Our universe had a beginning. And if it had a beginning, that forces us to ask some other questions. But let's talk about this idea of whether it's eternal or not first. Cause and effect. You learn that is an important principle, a fact of science from early science classes. Things just don't happen on their own. You see a house, it didn't just fall there on its own. It had some kind of a cause. And that's the path that we're going this morning. Is if there's an effect, if the earth, if the universe had a beginning at some point in time, there had to have been a cause. But did it have a beginning, or is it eternal? Do we have any evidence that the universe had a beginning? Some scientists say until about the time of Einstein, atheists could comfort themselves with the belief that the universe is eternal and thus did not need a cause. But since then, five lines of scientific evidence have been discovered that prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the universe did indeed have a beginning, and that beginning was what scientists now call the Big Bang. Now, I'm going to refer to creation throughout the lesson today as the Big Bang, just to be consistent with the quotations. Normally, I would just refer to it as the creation, but I don't want it to get confusing. So, when I say the Big Bang, I'm talking about when God created all things. In their book, I really want to recommend, there's a lot more information than what I'm going to give to you today. I want to recommend to you this book by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I love that title. And that's the thing that makes atheists absolutely angry, is when you tell them, well, I'm just not of the same faith as you. Well, it's not faith, it's all based on evidence, okay? Well, so is mine. My faith is too, and they don't like that at all. But anyways, that's their point. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And not, it doesn't only talk about the evidence for the world and things like that, but about the Bible and other things in that book as well. It's a really good book, and so I'd recommend it to you. But in this book, they package this five lines of evidence for the beginning of the universe in the acronym SURGE, S-U-R-G-E. And it really helps us to remember the evidence for the earth having a beginning. The first line of evidence is the S, the second law of thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics states that the amount of usable energy in the universe is depleting. The amount of usable energy in the universe is depleting. But the first law of thermodynamics states that the amount of all energy in the universe is constant. Usable energy is depleting, but all of the energy as a whole stays constant. So that can only mean one thing. As energy is used up, it just becomes unusable energy, but it's still there. How could the universe be eternal or infinite if it only has a limited amount of usable energy? Obviously, if the universe was eternal, and they call this the first and second laws of thermodynamics, it's absolutely true, the evidence proves it. If those are true, how could the universe be eternal? The point is, the universe would be on an empty tank by now. Would have been on an empty tank a long time ago. Everything would have gone. All of our usable energy would have been depleted by now. And so that's the first. That's the S, the second law of thermodynamics. The amount of usable energy in the universe is depleting. The U in SURGE stands for the expansion of the universe. In the 1920s, although it was predicted before that time, Edwin Hubble was able to confirm through his telescope research that the universe is expanding. If the universe is expanding, would it not have had to begin its expansion at some point? It's important to understand that the universe is not expanding into empty space, but space itself is expanding. There was no space before the Big Bang. Time, space, and matter came into existence at the Big Bang. This leads us to an honest observation by an atheist, Anthony Kinney. Listen to what he says. A proponent of the Big Bang, at least if he is an atheist, must believe that the matter of the universe came from nothing and by nothing. You see, although Anthony Kinney was an atheist, it's commendable that he understands. He's just looking at the evidence. And if the evidence says that our universe had a beginning, and you're going to be honest with the evidence, then if you're an atheist, you must say that our universe came from nothing. Which totally destroys the scientific principle of cause and effect. Nothing happens without a cause. Nothing exists unless something brought it into existence. So the U is the expansion of the universe. The R in surge stands for radiation from the Big Bang. And it serves as substantial proof for the beginning of the universe. Technically known as the cosmic background radiation. This afterglow is actually light and heat from the initial explosion. This light is no longer visible, but the heat can still be detected. Robert Jastrow, an agnostic astronomer, basically pronounced the death of belief in an eternal universe because of this radiation. He wrote, "No explanation other than the Big Bang has been found for the fireball radiation. The clincher, which has convinced almost the last doubting Thomas, is that the radiation discovered by Penzias and Wilson has exactly the pattern of wavelengths expected for the light and heat produced in a great explosion. Supporters of the steady state theory, or that the universe is eternal, have tried desperately to find an alternative explanation, but they have failed. At the present time, the Big Bang theory has no competitors." Nothing. Nothing in science stands against the idea that at one point the universe wasn't there and then all of a sudden it was there. Just a little bit like the Genesis account of creation. But we continue. That was radiation. The G in surge stands for great galaxy seeds. Within the radiation waves are ripples that Geisler and Turek refer to as great galaxy seeds. Before their discovery, some scientists had already theorized that temperature variations would be present in those radioactive waves. The COBE satellite was launched in 1989 in an effort to discover if these ripples exist. Upon their discovery in 1992, the COBE project leader, George Smoot, said, listen to him, "If you're religious, it's like looking at God. What is the big deal with these ripples? The precision of the ripples indicate the explosion and expansion of the universe was precisely tweaked to cause just enough matter to congregate to allow galaxy formation, but not enough to cause the universe to collapse back on itself." Smoot referred to the ripples as the machining marks from the creation of the universe and the fingerprints of the maker. Most of you are probably familiar with what machining marks are. You use different kinds of drills or saws or some kinds of tools. Each one, because screws tighten a certain way or just the different way that it's made, it's going to make specific little marks as it's used. And so police have been able to use those kinds of things to tell, if somebody used some kind of a tool in a crime, well, they use that as evidence because only that tool can make that machining mark. And so what these scientists and astronomers were saying is that when they found these great galaxy seeds, these temperature variations in the radiation, they said that it proved that when the Big Bang happened, that it happened in just such a way that it would cause the universe to expand so it could exist, but it didn't do it in such a fashion that it would expand and then collapse back on itself. It had to be precisely done in a certain way for that to take place. And so he says it's just like it's the machining marks of the maker. It's like looking at God, he says. The E in our acronym SURGE stands for Einstein's Theory of General Relativity. This theory, which has been proved to 5 decimal places, states that time, space, and matter are all relative. What that basically means is they're dependent upon one another. One could not exist without the other. Time exists only in space. And if matter exists, then it has an age, time. Matter cannot exist without space for it to exist in. All three are dependent on each other. All three began at the exact same time. It can't just kind of slowly come into place. They're all dependent on one another. They had to start and work together from the beginning of the universe. Almost all scientists have abandoned the theory that the universe is eternal. While some will not admit that this points to a creator, many have and still do. And I want to stop and make this point here. We hear so often, the real scientists would never believe in God. You know, that's the kind of things you hear on the media and you hear from the popular scientists like Richard Dawkins. But you know what? What you don't hear about, what's smothered out of the media, is that there's scientists all the time that look at this evidence and say, you know what? Somebody had to do this. There had to be a creator behind all this. I just can't look at the evidence and honestly say that this could happen on its own. If you go and you research that, you will find scientist after scientist with credentials beyond imagination saying, you know what? Creator's the only answer. It's the only thing that makes sense. Now, many of them won't go as far to believe in the God of the Bible or follow the Bible in the way that it should, but it just makes the point that it just couldn't happen. It just doesn't make any sense without God. So the universe exists, and all the evidence says that the universe had a beginning. It is not eternal. So was this universe just simply designed by chance then? Could it possibly have just formed? You had a few little chemicals maybe in the beginning and they just hit each other in the right way and started this cell which grew into this and everything just all started from these few little cells. Is that possible? Could this all have happened by chance? Well, there's just too much evidence that there's design implemented in the universe. The design of the universe itself is just amazing. The universe functions according to very finely tuned laws of nature, such as gravity. These laws allow all the randomness of space to continue its constant functions without being disrupted or changed in the slightest. Is it just by chance that these laws are in place, or did someone design them? I want to take aside for a few minutes and talk about a true story. Many of you probably remember back in the 70s when Apollo 13 NASA mission was launched. And they had trouble once they got way, way into space. They made the movie about it. And the mission was not now to go to the moon. The mission was to get the people back home safely. Well, a lot of the problems that they had in that mission resulted because obviously spaceships are designed specifically to retain life-sustaining functions. The right amount of oxygen, the right amount of gravity, and the right amount of all of these things. Spaceships are built for this purpose. Well, the problem was when the spaceship malfunctions, then all of a sudden these things are affected. And the point that we make with this story is that the universe is designed in such a way to sustain life on Earth, to sustain us. And without very precise designs, we couldn't exist. We would be burned. We would be smushed. We would disintegrate. So many things, so many laws are in place that allow us to live and breathe and work here on Earth. So let's just read. I want to read to you a little bit about this mission. He says, basically, they were 2,000 miles out of the Earth's atmosphere when they started to have trouble. They had no signs of trouble. Jim Lovell's own words before the problem, he said, "We're just fat, dumb, and happy up here." And so everything was going very well.